I want to talk about obedience and promptings and look at sacred moments throughout the Christmas story and then tie those to us today. And so obedience and promptings is what we're going to talk about. I remember my brother telling me one day, my younger brother, Eric, it was a hot summer day. He was working up in the orchards at Regents, the corporate offices up there at the time. And he was walking across the parking lot on his lunch break. And as he was walking, he notices this woman approaching him, getting off her lunch break. And he had seen her before, but he'd never met her, didn't know her name. And as he's walking, he feels God prompts him this way. He has this thought. He feels like God told him this. That woman is contemplating suicide. Tell her that I love her. Tell her that I see her and that she matters. Wow. What would you do? Well, in the moment, he goes, I quickly first thought, wow, that's heavy, Lord. Is this you? Is this really you, God? Because if this is really you, I'll approach her and tell her those things. But if it's not, help me. Help me to know, you know. But he keeps feeling the nudge, and so the prompting. And so he walks up to her and he says, my name's Eric, and God sees you, he knows you, he loves you. And I felt like he told me that you were considering taking your life. And I just want you to know that he loves you, he knows you, you don't need to do that. She looked him in the eye. She said nothing. She kept walking. Did his step of obedience matter? Was it right? Was she really contemplating suicide? All those questions roll around in my mind. We'll never really know for sure till we get to heaven, I guess. But I think to myself, and I know this is what Eric said to me, my younger brother, he said, he goes, I went with worst case scenario. Let's say I'm wrong. Let's say I didn't hear from God. Let's say I missed it. He goes, this is all happening in split second timing, right? But he said, I thought, if I'm wrong, the worst case thing is she could go, you're an idiot, get out of my way. But the fact that, so he goes, I could look stupid, I'm okay with that. But if she's really contemplating suicide and this is a message, a prompting from God, then her life's on the line. I'm willing to look stupid for that. Now, and so that's an amazing story to me. And I think a moment of obedience that really matters, because moments actually really matter. Now, does every moment matter? I'm not sure every moment. I mean, I guess it matters at some level, but there are moments that really matter. That was one of them, in my opinion. And there are some moments that are holy, they're set apart, they're sacred. And I know if we all look back in our timeline of our history, you can think of some moments where you're like, oh yeah, that was a pivotal, game-changing moment. That was, maybe it was a holy moment, maybe it was a sacred moment. And when you look back now and reflect on it, you go, man, God was all involved in that heavily. Like so much, is everybody with me? Like you can think of moments in your history, you go, oh yeah, totally. Like when I reflect, I go, yeah, God was so involved there. And God has spoken clearly to all of us right here in his word, first and foremost, right? And everything, every prompting, every nudge that we sense from God should be filtered and make sure that it aligns with God's word. He's clearly spoken here. But he also still speaks to us. If you're saved, if you are a believer in Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit, we're empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit to walk out the truth that we see in the scripture through his strength. And one of the things, and one of the ways he speaks is through those promptings, or like I like to call them nudges, right? Little Holy Spirit nudges. Kind of the you know, when the Holy Spirit kind of taps you on the shoulder, leans in a little. And so there's a few ways God speaks. I put a few up here. This is not a limitless list here, but first and foremost, the Bible, as I mentioned. I think in prayer, where we don't just request or ask, but we actually listen. We pause and we listen. And as I read to you even last week when with Elijah, that still small voice, that spontaneous thought that lights upon your mind and your heart, and you're like, oh, that's out of left field. Is that you, God? Don't ignore those things. Don't ignore those things. I'm not saying every one of those thoughts is God speaking to you, but he's probably speaking to all of us way more than we realize. And so what if you approached your day-to-day activity and my day-to-day activity with this thought that I'm going to continually get myself in the Word of God, submit myself to the truth of God's Word, but also trust him that every day he is going to have an opportunity not only to speak to me for me personally, but also speak through me and encourage others, build others up. Now, that story I shared, that's a, you know, that was a life situation. The challenge is we don't always know that sometimes our little encouragement, our little, that response of obedience to a prompting, we don't know what's on the other side of it always, right? Our responsibility is just to obey that prompting if we believe it's from God. And this stuff sometimes happens very quickly. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. I ask myself this question, God, are you the loudest voice in my life? That's a pretty good question, actually. What is the loudest voice? It's a good question. I think we could all ask that. I think, and I find the more that I lean in and the more sensitive I am to the voice of God, it's amazing how fun and adventurous this life can be. Powerful moments happen, and they come in small and big sizes. But I want to say this to you, and I put this on the screen for you. We should never underestimate what God can do through one moment of obedience. Don't underestimate your obedience. One moment. And I can't help but think about that story. And I was preparing this. I was thinking about Eric's obedience in that day, in that hot summer's day, in that parking lot with that woman he'd never met but seen, knew she worked there. I guess we won't know for sure, but I can't help but think that was a sacred moment. You know, these moments come in all different sizes. How many of you have ever been prompted? You felt you were prompted by God to say something, give something, do something, and you did it. And you're like, yeah, I did it. I did that. Okay. How many of you have had that same prompting and then didn't do it? Yeah. I mean, God in his goodness, he works with us. He helps us, he stretches us, he grows us. But I can't help but think, for me, for you, the more we get a yes in our spirit to say, God, the answer is yes. Like, big Y on your chest, yes, God, I'm waking up this morning with a yes, I'm available. Use me. However you want to use me, speak to me. Speak through me. And so I just, that's what I want to talk to you about today. And these moments really matter. We're going to look at the Christmas story in a second, but let me give you in the New Testament, there are two words for time, two Greek words for time, two different words. It just says time in the scripture, but it's two different words, chronos and kairos. And I put them on the screen here for you. Chronos is measured in minutes and seconds, weeks, months. It's your calendar. It's the quantitative way we measure time. It's a measurable resource. It's linear, moving in one direction, typically past, present, future. But kairos time is that opportune moment, that appointed time, that sacred moment. It's a qualitative, it's measured by the quality of that moment. And I actually believe God's giving us kairos moments all the time. Whether we recognize them, whether we believe, whether we see. As a matter of fact, when we just sang that song, I trust the Lord, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered, And then that verse says, that's why I trust him, that's why I trust him. And as I was singing that with you, I thought to myself, if we think that God's answer is always yes to our request, you might go, well, I'm disappointed because God didn't answer my request. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. But did you notice that the song doesn't say, and he'll always answer yes to every one of your prayers? Because he's a good father, he doesn't always answer yes. And he doesn't always answer no. Sometimes it's wait. Sometimes it's, I love that you came to me and you requested. I love that you approached and you trust me. But I actually have a bit of a different path than what you're praying for here. Will you trust me? And we're going to see that in the Joseph story here, the Christmas story rather, with Joseph as the main character for today. But before we go there, I remember a Kairos moment, a sacred moment in Shelley and I's life. It was 1993. It was our first year of marriage. Got married in May of 92. And we had started attending River City Church. Just as attenders, we came in. We were looking for a church home. And we went to this conference that LifeLinks was putting on at River City Church called Are You Called? Shelley went to the majority of it. I was working. And so I picked up the last evening session on Saturday night. Basically got there in time, didn't hear any of the teaching, just got there kind of for the prayer moment at the end of the service, you know. Shelley was really impacted. She had a great, great experience, but there was this prayer time where they invited people to come down and just get prayer. And so Shelley and I went down for prayer afterwards, and there's some people from LifeLinks, part of the network of churches we're a part of, were there doing the conference, and they prayed for us, and as they were praying for us, they did something we had never experienced before, which was prophesy over us. They are asking God to give them any encouragement for Kevin and Shelley that they needed. God, you know what Kevin and Shelley need. We're here. We're available to share that message with them. So nudge us, prompt us, share that. And so as they prayed for us, we were both 23 years old. We use this term, they read our mail. It was like God had read our mail. Like these people sharing started saying things that Shelley and I had private conversations. They were like literally prophesying and saying parts of conversations Shelley and I had that nobody else knew. We were in a major decision point in our lives. We were gonna leave the valley. We grew up here. We've grown up here. We were gonna get out of this place because if you wanna do anything real for God, you gotta leave the LC Valley. That's what we thought at 23, you know. Growing up here, you think, okay, you got to leave this place to do anything real. And that's where our hearts were. And we had a God plan. Like we had a plan. We had prayed. We had sought God. But we couldn't get a peace about the plan. So we were kind of, and as we were being prayed for there, God clearly spoke to us through those who were praying for us. But also more than that, he spoke to us in our spirit. They were part of it. But several other things happened, and we were like, it was clear. One of the things that was clear after we left that time of prayer was we were actually supposed to really plug into this church. How ironic. It was like God, one of the things God said was, you're going to be involved in this place really big time. You know, you're going to be involved. Literally, we know we'd be pastoring the church at one point. You know, like that was not on the radar. I just want you to know that was not on our screen for God's plan for our life. I had a lot of great ideas that I thought were great. So I'm just saying when we seek the Lord, he's got the best plan. Yeah. We just need to remember that. Because I don't know about you, but I think I got some pretty good ideas and some pretty good plans. And I think you do too. That doesn't mean they're God's. So we want God's plan always, right? And so sometimes his no is so infinitely better than our requested. You know, God, I really would like this. And we think if you just say yes to that, everything will be great. Mm-hmm. I am so glad that he didn't let us do our plan. I really am. And I hope you are too. And so let's look for those sacred moments, those amazing Kairos moments. And let's go to the Christmas story. Go to Matthew 1. today. We're going to read it from Matthew's gospel, Matthew 1, starting in verse 18. This portion, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And so we don't know a lot about Joseph. I call him Joe. We're on a first name basis like that. And we don't know a lot in scripture from Joe about Joe, but we do know these things. I just put them on the screen for you. We know he was a carpenter. We know he was a righteous and faithful man. We know he was a descendant of David. We know that he was Mary's husband. That was the decision point right here. And we know that he was Jesus' earthly father. But what we don't know, and what we don't know a lot of history about him. As a matter of fact, most scholars think that most likely Joseph passed away early. And the reason, it doesn't say that in scripture, but from the accounts that we do have, the last kind of mention of him is when Jesus was about 12. But then if we fast forward to Jesus' earthly ministry at 33-ish, and then his time on the cross there Jesus says to John, hey, take care of my mom. And if Joseph would have been in the picture, it doesn't seem that he would have asked John to do that. And so it doesn't matter that much, but I think it's interesting to note that Joseph, we just don't have much on him, yet what we do have is so significant, because this moment right here, this sacred moment, y'all, he says yes to what God wants. He had a different plan. As a matter of fact, his plan, I just read it to you, his plan was Mary gives him the word that she's pregnant, and they were betrothed. They were, in our terms, engaged, yet betrothal there was, at that time, was a much bigger commitment. It was a legal binding thing. In order to end the betrothal or end the engagement, you would have to get what was called a divorce at those times. Now, they were betrothed, but they weren't living together, and they haven't had intimate relations. So Joseph knew he wasn't the dad. So then Mary has this story that she tells him that I'm pregnant and it's God. It's supernatural. Imagine that story. If you're Joseph, oh, really? You know, like, I mean, in my mind, I'd be like, well, that's different. Interesting. Seriously, Mary. Okay. I mean, I've heard some stories from you, Mary, but this is crazy. And of course, that's extra biblical. That's Kevin's translation, okay? But I mean, you just imagine the story. And then, I mean, this is unusual circumstances here, you know? And so Joseph is such an upright guy, and he's a faithful to the scriptures, and he's an upright man that he's like, okay, the right thing, the godly thing to do. As a matter of fact, the godly thing to do here is, you know, I'm not the dad, so she cheated on me. I just need to end this and move on with my life. But I love her, and I don't want to. I know that if I divorce her, I want to do it quietly, because especially in that day and time, this would have been a major, major thing. I mean, she would have been an outcast because of it. It would have been really hard for Mary if he would have divorced her. But that's what he was going to do. So that's Joseph's state. He's right in that spot. He needs help. He needs God to intervene. He needs a Kairos moment, and that's what he gets. Look at verse 20. But after he had considered this, he's pondering all these things that are going on, and Mary and this baby, and oh my goodness, it says, and the New King James says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So, at this, aren't you glad that God sent an angel to deliver a message to Joseph? And he had to do it in a time when Joseph wasn't just considering all these things with his mind when he was asleep. Interrupts his sleep patterns and brings this incredible angel. And so anyway, I just think, wow, God, this is incredible you did this, and I'm so grateful you did, because thank goodness Jesus had an earthly father the way you planned it. And so what happened here was a supernatural interruption in Joseph's sleep life. I think God uses what we would call, what I like to call maybe kairos interruptions, those divine interruptions, to bring clarity to Joseph for his decision. And I would even say to you and I, please don't, let's reframe interruptions. Now, for some of you, you're like, oh, I hate interruptions. Because you're, you know, some of you love them, some of you are way too in love with them. That's kind of me. Like, I love interruptions. I mean, I'm becoming, in my older age, I'm becoming more, well, less in love with them. Okay, but that's more my personality. I'm like, let's just go with the flow. Let's flow. Some of you are like, I have an agenda. I have a list. I don't want any interruptions. Now, my wife's not in the room. But she's more of that person. Like, she has a really great list, and she has an agenda, and, you know, and so you can tell her it's okay. She knows we're on speaking terms, and more than that. But speaking and sleeping terms. Okay. Anyway, but sometimes what happens is the agenda. You know, you're getting the flow and you get going, and you're like, I want to get this done, and then an interruption happens. What if we looked at those interruptions? What if we just went, God, is this one of your interruptions?
Right.
Or is this just an annoying interruption? Sometimes God's interruptions are annoying. But what if we reframed them to go, what if this is a kairos, a divine interruption? So I've just been thinking about that this week. I'm like, what if I reframed every interruption as with a curious mindset and went, God, are you in this? Is there something I need to notice here? Do I need to look at this from a different angle? Because maybe I'm not seeing what you're doing. I don't want to miss it. I like how Tim Keller says, he said, God appointments are often disguised as interruptions. That's Tim Keller. If you guys don't know who Tim Keller is, he recently passed away, but he was a pastor in New York. Just brilliant. Like, this is a guy that, just genius. And a stoic guy. And I don't know, I just think, this is Tim Keller saying we should pay attention to the interruptions. Wow. This is a guy that I would assume had a really great list every day. So, back to the story, verse 20. Joseph gets interrupted and his in his dream life, and look what happens. It says, verse 20, it says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. So fear can hijack a sacred moment.
Yeah.
It's so easy for fear to come in and hijack these moments. I mean, Scripture says that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. So when you are fearful, take it as a clue to go, I need to pray into this. I need to talk to God about this, because fear separates. And the angel here addresses Joseph's key core issue. The first thing he says is, do not be afraid. So we should take that as like, wow, that's like right there. Okay. So fear of what? Well, fear of what could happen. This isn't how it was supposed to be. I'm not the dad of this baby. It's public ridicule. Potentially, what will others think? Maybe Mary's going to face public disgrace if I divorce her. I mean, a lot of questions, a lot of fear, a lot of consternation. I don't want to make the wrong decision. If I have to make this decision, I don't like it, but I'm going to do it quietly. But he's been considering all the facts. He's been doing the due diligence, gathering all the information. But the bigger question for Joseph is, God, what do you want me to know and what do you want me to do? I can see the facts, but God, what do you want? Because whatever you want, the answer is yes, I'll do that. And this angelic visitation, this message, do not be afraid. So the angel addresses the core issue, because when we're fearful, when we don't have a peace, it's really hard to obey. It's really hard to take the step of obedience if you're gripped with fear. And so he needs to get a peace. He needs to have a peace in his mind, in his heart, where he's willing to say yes. I like how Jamie Winship says it here. He says, when fear is gripping you, confess the fear, move through the fear with God so the fear doesn't own you. But get to the place where you have authority over it in perfect peace. I really like that quote. I think, leave that up there. Take a picture of that. It's a good, his book, Jamie Winship's book, Fearless Living. There's a bunch of people in the church reading this book right now. It's a great book on identity in Christ. But one of the things he addresses is how fear just can grip us and shut us down to what God has for us. And that's clearly through scripture. It's just clearly there. But I think knowing how to combat it, it's not going, I'm not afraid. No. Confess that you are afraid. But confessing means you're bringing it to God. Go, God, I'm afraid. It's gripping me. I don't want fear to own me, God. I know you, in Christ, you've given me the authority that I don't have to be gripped with fear. And ask him to bring a peace in the decision, in the step, in the situation, in the circumstance. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep the mind that is dependent on you. God, you'll have reign over this mind. You'll keep it in perfect peace, for it is trusting you. When you and I are trusting in the Lord fully, and in the decision, in the next steps, the steps of obedience, we'll get a peace. And that is a sign. The peace is a sign to us to go, okay, I know the Lord's. It's lining up with scripture. I trust you, God. I'm going to step out. 14:27 of John says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Jesus says, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give you. So don't be troubled or afraid. Now, let's go to verse 22 and 23, back to Matthew 1. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I love this. And I just think what's cool about this little chunk here is he's quoting Isaiah here in a prophecy, a messianic prophecy in verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. So this, Joseph, as a Jewish man, he would have been familiar with the general overview of Isaiah and the messianic prophecies. And I just want you to put yourself in Joseph's shoes in this moment. He gets this message from the angel quoting the scripture in Isaiah, and I just can't help it. Right in that moment, he's like, boom. I know that verse. I know what he's quoting. Like the Messiah, the coming one. And he's like, I'm living the moment that's been prophesied. I'm in this moment, and I'm a part of this reality. This baby that's in Mary's womb is the Messiah. And it's like the dots start to connect, and he's like, oh my goodness. Oh my godness. Oh my goodness. God, this is you. You are in this. And so when he wakes up, I think he has peace. Because verse 24 and 25, it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife. So boom, he goes from, I'm going to divorce her when he went to sleep, to when he wakes up, I'm going to take her as my wife. That's a good night. Sleep of not sleeping. I don't know. That's a good night's sleep with a great dream. That was a game-changing moment for Joseph. And I think he woke up knowing, I've heard from God. I heard what God wants. Even though I did all the due diligence, even though I in the natural, the right thing to do was to divorce her quietly, would have been the really kind way to do it. But I just got a clear Kairos sacred word from God that this is him. Do this. You thought this was the plan? Do this. And boom, he does it. Thank goodness he did. I mean, what an amazing, and I guess what I love too is that Joseph didn't wake up and try to explain the dream away. Oh, I had Southway pizza last night and kind of bothers my stomach, so it's probably just weird pizza interruptions. No. He doesn't try to explain the dream away. He doesn't try to argue with God. God, this isn't fair. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't know you were going to have me be the earthly father of the Messiah. That's way above my pay grade, God. I'm just a carpenter. Right. He didn't ask for a second sign or a third sign or a fourth sign. He didn't even ask for more clarifying details. Which even me, as an artist, I would have went, could you give me a couple more documents of information, Lord, before I make the final call? You know, and no. And let me say this to you. You don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. You don't have to understand completely to obey God immediately. Right. Or fully. I mean, so obedience is our responsibility to what God says, but the outcome, the results are in God's hands. Aren't you glad? I'm sure glad that Eric that day in that parking lot in the orchards, I'm so glad he obeyed that prompting. I know we all have people in our lives that we know people who have committed suicide or passed away. And you know, what we don't know for sure is how did God intervene prior to that? I talked to somebody in the first service that was asking that question. The question that came out to me was, why didn't God intervene in this person's life before they took their life? That's a big question. I don't know for sure the answer to that, but what I thought to myself was, we don't know for sure, but I bet he did. Whether they received it, we do have a free will, right? Or, you know, and there's all kinds of variables there, you guys. I'm not trying to trigger things here. But I do know God is good, and I do know we don't always understand what he's doing. But I do believe he brings people across our paths like he did that day for that woman. But I just think where it puts the weight to me is, God, please help me to have a yes in my spirit. So when you do prompt, when you do nudge, that I step out in obedience, because sometimes people's lives are on the line. Now, not every nudge, not every prompting is that big. I get that, okay? So I'm not trying to scare you, but maybe, just a little bit. I just think God's chosen truly to get his will done through us, through his people. We are the hands and feet of Jesus on this planet, and so the better we get at saying, God, help me to hear your voice, the still small voice, and the nudge and the prompts, and walking in alignment with your word, the more his will is he's interacting. I just we get to be a part of that, and it's so beautiful. So those steps to obedience, let me just give you a few of those. Hear God's word, or you sense a prompting. Surrender your will. Say, God, I'm not my will here, but yours. Trust his heart in it, and say yes. Say yes quickly. The yes can be quickly, but the acting out of it, ask God about the timing. God, is this the right moment? And some of this can happen very fast, okay? But the biggest thing is do what he tells you to do. As long as you might go, well, how do I filter this thing? Well, make sure it's aligned biblically. You know, if it's like, I feel like God's prompting me to punch you in the face 4 times, and then kick you in the lower unit of your body. This is not from God.
Right.
I mean, you know, like, there's your sign. I mean, like, you know, like, just, you know, use common sense, but use wisdom, but use God's sense. And that's why it's so important for us to be in the Word all the time, because then we know it more. If you go, I don't know it very well, talk to somebody, seek wise counsel, ask somebody who does, okay? Anyway, just important, okay? So Mark Batterson, I like what he says. He says about this discerning the voice of God requires an internal clock that perceives his promptings. And it's our reaction time to those promptings that leads to supernatural synchronicities, being in the right place at the right time with the right people. And a couple of verses tied to this, Isaiah 30:21, Isaiah was prophesying the restoration of Judah. When God's people cry out to him, he says, God will bless his people with guidance. Look at this. As your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way. So discerning God's voice, walk in it. What's the timing? When do I act on this? And so those questions can be, God, I believe you're saying this. What's the timing? Is this the right time? Do I need to wait? And again, sometimes these promptings come quickly and we need to respond quickly. Have a yes quickly, then go, is this the right time? All right? And so it's a faith step every time. I've had this happen so many times in my life, but I tell you what, I'm sure I've had some that didn't go right, but I can't think of many. I've had some that I stepped out in faith and did, and it didn't go as great as I thought at first. But then, give it another week, and all of a sudden you start to see how God was connecting dots and doing things, and you're like, oh, I was just one amongst many that God was using in this person's life. I just find my gut is, as long as it's not unbiblical, I go, is this helpful? Is it, the way I filter this, I'm like, is this helpful or encouraging? Is this not contradicting scripture? God, is my motive good here? Check your motive. But I just lean in and I just go. You might go, that freaks me out. It should freak you out a little bit, but it gets fun the more you trust God in it. Colossians 4:5 and Ephesians 5:16 about timing, these kairos moments. It says, live wisely in Colossians 4 among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Stories are coming to mind, but I can't go down too many rabbit trails here. Ephesians, so that word every opportunity there, those words, it's every kairos moment. That opportunity is every kairos moment. Not chronos moment, every kairos moment. Those opportune times. And then 16:5, Ephesians says, see then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time or making the most of every moment of the time, the kairos moments, because the days are evil. It's so important, you guys. And so how do we do this practically? Well, I'd say just, you know, again, pray first. You know, just start your day. When you get up in the morning and you've spent a little time with the Lord, and even if you're rushed in the morning, swing your legs out of bed and go, Jesus, good morning. The answer is yes. And anybody old enough to remember YMCA? Yeah. Some of you are way too young for that. Just ignore that thought. But just imagine a Y, a E, and then, is that the right S? This way to you. It's a backwards S to you. You know, like, it's just, and I'm not saying you have to do choreography in the morning, but I'm just saying, if your answer is yes, Lord, this is a great day. I'm alive today. Your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being my everything, God. I'm on assignment today from you, for you, with you. Thank you for my retirement. Thank you for my job. Thank you for the fact that I'm looking for a job and you're going to bring one. God, thank you for the opportunities today. Thank you that I can go to Costco, Lord, and eat the samples. Lord, thank you that, yeah, you know, whatever you got to be thankful for, be thankful, but just go, yes, yes. The answer is yes, Lord. And I just say, pay attention to the thoughts that help somebody. Pay attention to the thought you have of texting or calling someone, especially the spontaneous ones where it wasn't on your list. Yeah. When you have the thought, a random thought to help somebody, don't go, well, that's ridiculous. Go, why am I having a random thought to help Bob? Pay attention to that. Go, God, is that you? No, it wouldn't be you. You wouldn't want to help Bob. Maybe he does. if you have a random thought to text somebody or call somebody, or a random thought that's out of the normal stream of your thought life right then, go, God, is that you? Just ask him the question. God, what do you want me to know? Do you want me to do something here? Just keep that dialogue going. You'll be amazed how many cool opportunities God gives you.
Yeah.
Right? You might go, well, I need to have a guarantee from you, Kevin, that it's gonna be a really cool opportunity. Can't give you the guarantee. But Kyle said he would back up any, he would talk to you, counsel you through any issue that comes up. Right, Kyle?
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
The answer is yes,
Kyle. So you guys, to wrap this up, let's practice saying yes to the God promptings. Just want to challenge you. Today, when you leave here and you get in your car, just say a little prayer. God, the answer is yes. What do you got going today? And don't be like, okay, I gotta hear a prompting from God. Just relax. Just say, God, I'm available. And just watch what happens. One final story. It was 2004, and a couple had been praying and thanking God for their family, and they had have a bunch of kids, and they were praying together as a couple, and God had made them aware of, and they'd become aware of orphans around the world and foster families, foster kids, and as they were praying about it, and they were like, God, do you want us to adopt some kids? Did you put this on our heart? And as they were praying, what they felt like God said to them was, I want you to make a way for other people who don't have the means, make a way for them to adopt some kids. And so this couple prayed into that some more, and they prayed, and they got a list of several people, actually, as they were praying, that they're like, a matter of fact, a list of three people, three different couples, and that they could help make a way. So at lunch here in Lewiston, right on 21st Street there, we sat down at a table over a turkey sandwich. And a couple said to my wife and I, hey, we were praying. And we felt like God said to offer to, if you guys want it, to fully fund an adoption for you, would you pray about it? And they said, we have a heart for international kids, and we know that it'll be really expensive, probably up to $30,000. Just know we'll cover all of it. If you want to do it, you pray about it. If you want to do it, we got it. I think to myself many times, what if that couple hadn't prayed? And what if they hadn't listened? And what if they hadn't obeyed? We wouldn't have sat at that table and had a sacred moment, a Kairos moment, because we couldn't afford that. But God knows. I'm so glad, so grateful that they said yes to God's prompting. Would you stand? Lord, so grateful for the church family here today. Every person in this room, you love deeply, passionately. If you're in this room and you've never said yes to Jesus, that's the greatest and best yes. His offer of salvation is this gift that he paid for on the cross. Through his death, he took your sin and my sin upon himself, and he offers it to all of us. And many of us in this room have said, yes, I receive that gift. you haven't done that, I want to pray for you in a minute, but that's a huge thing. That's the game-changing decision and gift to receive. So I want those of you who have never made that decision, I want you to think about that in this moment. I'm going to give us a little moment of silence here, because I want us to all ask, Jesus, what do you want me to know and do with this message today? So let's just take a minute of silence. Across this place, I know you're speaking to people, and you know exactly what they need. So, Lord, we take note of what you've spoken to us today, how you've spoken to us, and we got a yes in our spirit today as we go from this place. And Lord, I know there's people here who are gripped with fear. Lord, I pray that you would bring, as they talk to you about that, as they give you that fear, would help them to confess the fear and say, God, what do you think about this thing I'm wrestling with? They talk to you, begin to dialogue with you. Lord, would you bring them a peace from you? They know it's you because all of a sudden they've got peace that they didn't have before. And I really believe I feel like the Holy Spirit said to me this morning, there's multiple people in the room that you're on the cusp of stepping out in obedience, and you've been waiting for the right timing. And you need to ask the Lord. I actually believe there's some of you, it's like, it is the right time. Make the step. I feel like that's what the Lord said to me. It's the right time. Make the step. So Lord, we just give you our day. Lord, we give you our day with our yes right up front. Rest of today, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for this time of worship together and communion and giving and being with the community. Lord, we give you the rest of our Sunday. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.